last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, we are introduced to new characters, Anne and Sally, and they're fighting. They're fighting. Oh, Anne, you never sweep. Oh, boo hoo hoo. And everyone's that's what we get from them. And we realize that they're in this place called the Oogaboo, I think. And yeah, and they're there. Their parents left them, and they're like, "What the hell?" So they decide that, or Anne decides that she wants to go and explore the rest of Oz, and maybe find her parents. I honestly don't remember if that was a thing or not. But anyway, but then Sally's like, "No, actually, what we're gonna do is dominate everything. We're taking over Oz. We're taking over the world, and we're taking over the moon. We're doing everything." And so then it turns into war. And so now she has to collect an army. So she goes and gets. Oh yeah, also Anne's a queen, and her people are there. And that's who she gets. She gets all the men, and she makes them colonels, captains, governors, and one private, File, Mr. File, Joe File. Oh, yeah, all their names are Joe, and they grow weird things. And then what else happens? Oh, my gosh. Okay, and then they go. They're the army, and they are... Oh, there's also a gun-like farm. That's something. We're going to continue, though. And they go. They're the army. And they're like, march, march, march. And when they're marching. Oh, yeah. And then Glenda's like, oh, these people are doing something bad. Let me throw them off by making the road go different directions. And that's what she does. And then all of a sudden, they end up in front of this, like, monster. monster Iraq. And he almost tries to kill them, but then doesn't. And I just feel like I'm going so over time, so I'm just going to stop there. And that's it.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 44 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing with book 8, TikTok of Oz, covering chapters 4 through 6.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone.
And Wise Wine.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, our green queen, Hannah Aguirre.
Oh my god, I'm wearing green today, too.
And that was just in my notes.
That's crazy.
Psychic.
Sorry, did you want to, like, say, like, a catchphrase?
I didn't have anything planned.
Okay. They're like, or like... I'm just kidding.
You really want a lot out of me.
Dance! So, Hannah, you just played last time on, where you recapped what happened last time in TikTok of Oz. That took you 2 minutes and 2 seconds to cover, which isn't great. And I do just have a couple of notes for our listeners. You kind of went back for this. Anne Soforth is the interim queen of Oogaboo. Her father, the king, went into Oz to escape his nagging wife. And then after a few years, the queen went after him, leaving Anne in charge. Mm-hmm. So it's Anne's idea to find world domination while she's the interim queen. Private Files is a crazy Full Metal Jacket ROTC freak, and he knows where to find a gun tree. There was some confusion over the gun.
There was.
And the Rack tries to kill them. Files stands his ground Texas style.
Shoots
and
him out.
They fly the flag of Oogaboo to lay claim upon the land.
Okay.
Do you have anything, Wyatt?
No, maybe the only thing is that Ozma doesn't know anything about this. Like, Glinda just bypassed Ozma and said, which you didn't
That's right.
get anything wrong there, but I just do want to mention Ozma has no idea
which
about
is
this part.
Insane.
Giving cousin Bobby.
So before we started recording, Wyatt went ahead and whipped up another fabulous cocktail. What do we have here?
Tonight, we are drinking the Roseland Mule. It is basically a Moscow Mule, except it is made with rosé in addition to ginger beer.
It smells great.
And some raspberry. And Hannah just ate her raspberry. It looks delightful.
Shall we slurp?
Yeah.
That's good.
When Ooh, that is good.
When that touched my lips, all of a sudden my brain like flashed white, and it was like, in the summertime with a boo-doo-boo-bow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Chapter 4, Betsy Braves the Billows.
Okay.
There's two things you got to know about this. Number one, nothing you learned last episode is going to have anything to do with what you're going to hear today.
Oh, yeah. No new story.
Absolutely no crossover.
What?
No mention. We get another cold open, though.
Yeah. We find ourselves on a ship in some sea, and the water is treacherous. There is a massive storm going on.
Waves, lightning, thunder. It is insane.
Betsy Bobbin is her name. She's running across the deck, and as she's doing this, the ship strikes upon a rock.
And she goes flying, like 20 feet in the air.
She flies through the air.
And she lands in the ocean. Also, at this moment, there's a very thin mule named Hank, which, by the way, mule, that's our mule, the reason we're having a mule today. Okay. But the mule Hank, who's also on the ship, also gets fucking catapulted out into the ocean.
Okay.
So they're like 20 yards away from the boat. Like they're in the ocean watching it.
This is giving, what book was it with Belina and Dorothy?
The third book, Ozma of Oz. Yeah.
Honestly,
we'll just wait.
Betsy is like fully drowning. She was not expecting to fall into the water.
No.
She like reaches out in front of her like, and she fortunately finds Hank's tail. And so like her and the mule are kind of like staying afloat together.
Okay. I was like, she's going to drown that mule.
So yeah. I'd be fucking like getting on top of it. It's kicking me.
Down.
I'm mad at it for that. But no, fortunately, this like, what, it's not like a manhole cover. What is it?
Well,
it's like a porthole cover.
Before this, unfortunately, the ocean is lit up and the boat has lit on fire and exploded. Exploded.
Is this real?
This is real. This is not a lie. This
okay.
Time. No, she means we're not lying.
I was like, well, you guys
her.
Just like say things
yeah,
sometimes.
No, yeah. This is real. The boat lights on
were
fire.
Were there people on there?
There
probably.
Must have been. She so probably
just,
wasn't.
And
Betsy, driving the boat.
Betsy can't be alone on that boat.
They're, and they're not in a fairyland, we don't think.
Oh, that's what I was about to, I was like, are they in Oz?
Who knows?
Does this mean that they are just blown into a bunch of pieces?
Literally,
that they...
who knows? And I actually, that's going to come back up in this.
Yeah.
Actually. Like, where the hell is Betsy from? And we'll talk about it. But where's she going? Where did she come from? Where did she go?
Where did she come from, Con Night Joe? Joe!
Joe Files!
That's nothing.
So, honestly, watching the ship sink super far away from her, Betsy, like, literally shudders. And she's probably thinking, like, if I had been on that ship, dead.
Yeah, like
honestly,
and now though, the only hope she might have had in the middle of the ocean is gone, so she actually is also dead. But
she said, "It's me and a mule in the dead middle of the sea.
Grab some debris, do a little Titanic moment."
So it's
the mule's gonna freeze.
It's more
the
than
mule
eat
is
it.
Jack.
Eat it. It's cured with salt.
Oh, is that Rose? Cocktail.
Oh,
Rose
from Titanic. Yeah. No, but it's a good tie-in.
That's funny.
We'll get there though.
We'll get there.
So this hatch cover from the wreckage floats near them, and Betsy lets go of Hank's tail. She gets on it. It's wide enough. She did better than Rose from Titanic because this thing is wide enough for her and the mule. So she helps the mule scramble
her
up
and
on it.
The mule.
Her and
so
the mule.
So a whole ass mule could get on some debris, but Jack couldn't. That's crazy.
It didn't have to be like that.
I'm going to need to talk to someone.
James Cameron.
Like
yeah. Immediately.
But the storm, it's just clamoring up above them. Yeah. Lightning is going off bolt after
the
bolt.
The boat's gone. The storm is not gone.
Betsy and Hank
oh
are being like thrown all over the sea. Ugh,
that's my worst fear.
It's raining. They're screaming. And Hank is a mule and he's not having a good time.
He keeps saying, bow wow. Just kidding. It's hee-haw.
Yeah.
But it's the equivalent. In this
he does it a lot. But
like,
he's saying hee-haw.
Yeah. Exactly. Hee-haw is bow wow and don't know all rolled up into one little thing.
Yeah, seriously.
It's the same thing.
So Betsy is pretty freaked out. Because she knows that there, for hundreds of miles around her, there is no person. There's no living person. She is in the middle of the ocean with a mule. And she's not feeling very good. But Hank also isn't feeling very good, and he can tell that she's not feeling good. And so he, like, kind of nuzzles into her with his, like, nose and says, hee-haw.
It's very cute. It's very sweet. Yeah, this is interesting. This is interesting. Who are these people? Who is this mule? What is going on?
Yeah, this is insane.
We learned that in the recent days of the voyage, like, Betsy had spent a lot of time, like, in the stables where the animals were and, like, getting close to Hank. So, like, she's, like...
They've been hanging out.
She's, like, God, like, I do have, like, a connection with this mule. Like, we've spent a lot of time together recently, which is sweet. But she's also, like... Maybe that means he'll protect me better than a bigger animal, because this animal is, like, he ain't shit.
A mule?
Yeah, she's like, I'm not safe. Like, I hope I'm safe with this mule, but I know he'll try.
Yeah, as if any animal would be able to help her.
But Betsy, like, notices that he, like, kind of nuzzles into her, and, like, she just kind of starts, like, sobbing. And she's like, oh, like, you'll protect me, Hank. And he's like, hee-haw. And, like, they're just like, we're going to die together out here in the sea, aren't we? They're just kind of, like, having a moment.
But then the storm lasts into the night. And it kind of starts to calm down. And Betsy does a Dorothy. And she just stretches out and falls asleep.
She must be drenched.
Yeah. Hank did not sleep, though. Probably because he felt that he needed to protect her. So
it says
he,
like, sat up and just, like, looked out at the sea.
Has he talked yet? Or it's just feelings?
Hee-haw. Yeah. Yeah, he's like a horse. Like, he's like the horse from Mulan, where he doesn't speak, but, like, he has a personality and he knows what's going on.
That makes sense to me.
He's like Toto.
Yeah, well, so...
Okay.
The thing is, we'll see. Because, you know, there's... We'll see.
So
he's gonna start talking. I know it.
When dawn,
I feel it in my bones.
When dawn breaks, the light wakes Betsy up, and she sits up and she stares out across the water. And after looking out for a while, she's like, "Oh my God, Hank! There's land! Like, we're going toward land!" And they are, like, moving toward land. Like,
they're
like a jet stream.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of a riptide.
But as they get closer, Betsy can see these, like, banks of beautiful, huge flowers and these leafy trees on the shore ahead.
And there's no people to be seen that she can see. But it looks pretty nice. And she looks at Hank and he says, "Land ahead." No, he doesn't.
Oh, I was like, I had to think about that for a second. I was like, wait, who said that?
And Hank looks up and he says, "Hold on to your breeches."
God. No, but that is the end of chapter 4. Betsy braves the burrows. And Blake, what would you call that?
Okay, I think this is cute. You guys are going to be mean about it, though. From shipwrecked to shipmates. Oh, you guys suck.
Chapter 5. The roses repulse the refugees.
So the raft with Betsy and Hank on it, it kind of gently lights at the shore of the beach. And Betsy gets off the raft and she walks up to the beach. And Hank gets off the raft. He walks up to the beach. And it's beautiful. It's sunny. The air is warm, and the breeze is, like, carrying this, like, sweet fragrance of roses.
Yeah. It's a pretty nice place to be, it seems like. There's bright green trees, and Betsy is very happy to be on land because she thought she was going to die at sea last night, but she's also super hungry.
Yeah. She's like, "Hank, I'm hungry, and I don't eat roses, so what we gonna do?"
Yeah, she's like, some nuts.
She's looking at him like he's... like he's a snack. She's like, "What's
going on?" So Hank goes up the hill a little bit. And Betsy, like, follows him. And from the top of this hill, they can look down. And there's this big, beautiful greenhouse down the path. Like, it's, like, sparkling in the sunshine. And Betsy's like, "Okay, well, there's got to be, like, a gardener or, like, something around here.
If there's,
like,
a greenhouse, there's people.
And if there's people, they're going to give me food." Because she is starving. And she's a shipwreck victim.
Yeah.
How old is she?
Unknown,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say, like, 12.
I'm guessing she's, like, Dorothy's age now.
She's, like, a child.
Yeah, she's a child, but, like, older, she's not a teenager.
Older than OG Dorothy.
Okay.
But they walk over to the greenhouse, and the whole way there, they don't see anyone at all.
Yeah.
And when they get there, the door to the greenhouse is slightly ajar, so they go inside and are amazed by what they see. They see the queerest people. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, oh, my. It's going to be like the most normal people ever.
Yeah. By the most standard person you've ever seen. No, they walk in, and the greenhouse is full of these huge pots, all with rose bushes. And the roses are beautiful, they're gorgeous, they're bright. And in the center of every rose is the face of a lovely girl. So this is just to remember, when Tip went, or he was, who the hell was it coming back from the Wicked Witch's castle?
No, it was
West.
It was when Tip was fighting General Ginger.
Okay, yeah. But they use Mommy's magic to make all those sunflowers with like the girls' heads in the middle who were like screaming at them.
And like laughing.
Like
oh
walking across the, like the Badlands. So
a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. I'm like, I barely even remember that.
Well, there's gonna be a lot of things here that we're gonna be like, so do you remember this thing in the other books? And then doesn't this seem similar? So just belt up, because that's coming.
As Betsy and Hank enter the greenhouse, the heads of the roses are like drooped, like the eyes are closed, the girls look like they're sleeping.
Which is all fine and well. Ideally, they would have been able to get the fuck out of there.
Unfortunately, Hank is so surprised by what he sees. He goes, hee-haw.
No.
And all the roses wake up. Their eyes snap open. They all swivel. Like, yeah. And they're all staring at the intruders. And Betsy is like, I'm so sorry. And she's like embarrassed for like waking them up because like, which is kind of reasonable. Like, oh, what do you do? Like, I couldn't interpret that.
And the roses all say, a 1, 2, 3.
Oh. All of them in a chorus.
They like all, this is how they talk. They all talk at once.
But actually only one of them says, what was that terrible noise? And Betsy's like, well, that was Hank.
Yeah.
And Hank says, hee-haw. So they know
roses,
it's him.
They turn their heads as far away from Hank as they possibly can.
They're twisting and shuddering.
I hate it.
It looks like someone grabbed a rose bush and started shaking it. Oh, is my what God. It says. One of the roses is like, oh, God, that's terrible. Betsy's like, it's not terrible. You're just not used to hearing a mule. It's a mule.
Betsy's sort of annoyed. She's like, you know, stop bullying him. Like,
that's my friend.
Hank,
he saved
nice.
My life.
Literally, yeah.
They all kind of like, the rose bushes all kind of like turn around. They like look at Hank, just kind of taking him in. And one of them is like, that savage beast is called Hank.
What? Yeah. Betsy's like, yeah.
Cool down. Someone, like, take a breath
like,
of
what
fresh
happened
air.
To
quiet down. Like, quiet down.
But Betsy's like, yeah, like, he's faithful. He's my true comrade. Like,
and she, like, hugs him around the neck. She's like, he's my comrade, aren't you, Hank?
Yeah. And
so
Hank,
cute.
And Hank says, hee-haw again. And the roses hate They hate it.
So one of the roses... Honestly, like, this is a fair thing to say. Can you please go away? You're scaring us. Which, like, they're trapped in a greenhouse. These people just came into the greenhouse. It's, I think, saying, can you just, like, get out of here?
Yeah, like, this is our area.
If someone walked in here right now, I would be like, oh, you don't belong here. Can you please leave?
Actually, go. Yeah.
But Betsy is like, we're actually shipwrecked. We just got shipwrecked. I'm a little girl on a mule, and we don't have anywhere to go.
And the roses are like, 1, 2, 3.
Wrecked? Like, they are perplexed by this. And so Betsy explains, like, yeah, we were on a big ship. So, okay, we know it was a big ship now, and it was wrecked. And now we're here because we floated ashore. And she's like, and what country is this, please? Like,
yeah,
can you clarify me? Like, we need help. And where are we? And
like,
who
I've
are
never
you?
Seen this before.
Yeah. Like, she's kind of like catching up from the shock of all of it, I feel like. And she's like, actually,
like, I've already seen an explosion. I've already been in the giant, like, biggest waves I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And now I'm talking to flowers.
Yeah. I'd be
exactly.
Like, am I dead? Like, am I dead?
This is very like, are you coming from Kansas? Because she just seems very like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I'm really liking Betsy so far. But one of the roses tells her that she is in the Rose Kingdom. which is devoted to culturing the rarest and fairest roses ever grown. And Betsy's like, oh, okay, yeah, well, I guess I could have figured that out.
Yeah, she's like, I get it. Oh, you are beautiful.
Where the fuck is the Rose Kingdom?
Yeah, like, this well, is the yeah, Rose that's Kingdom? A good question. No shit, sure.
It could be in Oz for all we know.
I want more than that.
I mean, the Oogaboos were in Oz.
I need the world and the exactly. universe type of vibe. Yeah.
One of the roses tells Betsy that only roses are allowed in the Rose Kingdom, and that Betsy needs to get the hell out of there before the royal gardener finds her. Oh. And he will literally, if he finds them, he will cast Hank and Betsy back out into the sea.
And Betsy asks, she's like, well, is the gardener a rose? And they say, oh, no, he's a wonderful, wonderful man.
Wonderful man.
And Betsy says, I'm not afraid of a man.
As she's saying this, the royal gardener enters.
And she screams.
Well, actually,
he is 9 feet
he
tall.
Screams.
He has a hook for a left foot. He has fangs that are dripping poison. Just kidding. He's a man.
Oh.
He does have a spade and a watering can.
I was like,
though.
That's not a man. Yeah. That's not a man.
He's like a little dandy man, honestly. He's like, he's got a rose-colored costume. He has ribbons tied to his knees and ribbons tied to his elbows.
Oh, he's giving coquette.
And he has ribbons all in his hair.
Coquette.
It's so coquette.
And when he sees them, he says, oh, in surprise.
He
and then he like
astonished.
Hides.
This has never happened before.
Yeah.
As if to make matters worse, Hank brays again. This scares the royal gardener so much that he throws his watering can over Hank's head and runs away.
Yeah.
And hides
by the he actually trips and falls over in fright.
Yeah, he is terrified.
Okay, so
Betsy,
Hank is her weapon.
Right? Yeah, seriously.
Betsy, though, cracking up laughing, she takes the watering can off Hank's head. But Hank is not laughing.
Oh, he's pissed.
He's pissed.
He's mad.
He said, you don't mistreat a donkey like that. Yeah. Hee-haw.
Hee-haw. He is like backing up to this guy. He's like about to kick him in the head. And Betsy's like,
shit.
Hey, watch out for Hank's heels. Like, he's going to hurt you.
They're knives.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He got them sharpened. But the gardener is like, he like runs and hides behind the roses and is just like so freaked out. So Betsy's not afraid of that man.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either.
Oh my God. The gardener gets to his feet. He hides behind the roses and he like peeks out quivering from behind the bushes. And he's like, you're breaking the law. And Betsy's like, what law? And he tells her that it's breaking the law of the Rose Kingdom because no strangers are allowed to be there.
And not even when they're shipwrecked? She might ask.
Yeah. She's like, you're not supposed
to
be.
What if I don't have a choice?
Yeah. And he's like, well, the law actually doesn't make exceptions for shipwrecks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's still against the law to be here.
And furthermore.
But suddenly, there's a crunch and a crack. And you may recall this greenhouse is made of glass.
Oh, no.
And the glass in the ceiling shatters down and a man falls through. He's sitting there, lands on the floor, and that is the end of chapter 5.
Oh my God. He's like, you're going to keep reading this book.
The Roses repulse the refugees.
What?
That's the name of the chapter.
Oh, I guess they are refugees.
They are, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
And Blake, what would you repulse that?
I would call that a thorn in Betsy's side.
Chapter 6. Shaggy seeks his stray brother.
Hi, Shaggy.
Uh-oh.
You know who just landed in the middle of the greenhouse.
Oh.
Let's pretend you don't.
Or maybe you actually don't know.
So, I forgot about that.
So, the man who falls through the roof is, dare I say, one of the queerest men Betsy has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
His clothes are so shaggy. How shaggy are they? That at first, Betsy... No, it's not for you. I'll answer. Thank you. At first, Betsy thinks he's some sort of animal.
But then he's sitting up.
Sirius Black.
He's a lycanthrope.
Oh, my
god. Oh my god, it's giving Azkaban.
It is. It's giving the wanted poster.
Yeah.
Okay. The man fell through the top of the greenhouse. He landed on his butt and is just sitting up, holding a partially eaten apple.
He seems pretty unbothered.
He continues eating the apple.
Yeah, and he just looks around. What? You may recall that the first time we met the Shaggy Man and rode to Oz, he was picking apples off a tree and then also picked up Toto and put him in his pocket.
Oh.
So it's just a big callback to his favorite meal.
He loves apples. He loves a big, rosy-cheeked apple.
Although, in the last book, he ate square meals and brought those everywhere, so I'm not sure why he is going on this journey without
maybe
square meals.
Maybe he has square meals, but he saw the apple tree.
Yeah, maybe there were no apples in the last.
There better be a fucking square meal in this book. Is all I'm going to say. But okay.
But Betsy is like, oh, gracious. And she goes to check on the man who's fallen. And she's like, who are you? Where'd you come from? And he's like, who, me? As if he's not the one who just fell through the ceiling, like that of a room that people were already in.
Yeah, that
in.
Ruined like the whole vibe. Yeah. The whole vibe of the night.
Yeah. He's like, yes, I was actually being threatened with death and you came and interrupted.
But he's like, well, I'm the Shaggy Man.
Well,
isn't that how he talks?
I didn't realize that was how he talked.
I didn't think he talked
that. I thought that was canon. I thought I was doing something canon.
I thought he was like, I'm the Shaggy Man.
If, what?
That's way closer to what I would think.
What?
It's not quite it.
No. Okay.
I am the Shaggy Man.
No.
Maybe we just do it without voices. No. Maybe we just do it without voices.
This is getting scary, and it's not Halloween. The Shaggy Man tells Betsy that he climbed an apple tree outside of the greenhouse, and that while he was up there, the branch broke, and he fell through the top of the greenhouse. Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Betsy so hungry?
Yeah,
so wouldn't she have
tree?
Seen the apple tree growing over the greenhouse and go get an apple?
Probably.
That would make a lot more sense.
I mean, I would.
Wouldn't
that
she
I
have
her.
Seen the man Although, in the apple tree getting the apple up
how
there?
How small is how big is the greenhouse? How small is she?
Well, so okay, I think it's a pretty big greenhouse because it said it was big.
And she's
it also
four,
has
seven.
Pots of roses. Also, the Shaggy Man had to climb to the top above the greenhouse to get an apple. So maybe she didn't notice or she
yeah,
just...
Yeah, sounds like if it's a really high, like, tall building, basically, and she's, like, a child, small.
Yeah.
Like, maybe she just didn't even see it.
She probably didn't see it.
And she just saw a door and possibly people could be inside.
In the movie, it's, like, an enormous greenhouse, and they, like, see him fall and hear the crash, and they have to run over to where he is to see what's going on in the movie.
No, I don't think so. It's, well, then, it's one story. He just climbed a tree, and she didn't.
Dear listeners, this is my formal resignation from Oz Hour. So anyway, the Shaggy Man is just like eating his apple throughout this entire conversation. He doesn't give a shit. He gives the core to Hank, and Hank is like, oh yeah.
That's yeah, Hank awesome. Likes that. He's like, I eat that, actually.
Okay, Hank.
But then the Shaggy Man bows to the roses, he bows to Betsy, and he's like, hey, everybody. So the gardener at this point,
he's going through a lot.
He's been pretty much just too terrified this whole time to do anything. But he peeks back out. And he screams, you're breaking the law. You're breaking the law.
Shaggy just stares at him for a second. He's like, is glass the law? But bumps.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
he
broke,
the glass.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
It's just a bad joke. But
wait a minute.
Breaking the glass here is breaking
Keep
the
up.
Law. Breaking the glass is breaking the law. And also intruding anywhere in the Rose Country is breaking the law. So they've broken the law in many ways.
So many laws broken.
Yeah.
Shaggy's like, how do you even know all these rules you're spouting out? And the gardener says that it's printed in a book that if any stranger enters the Rose Kingdom, they will be immediately condemned to death by the ruler.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he's like, so your time has come
not
to
Joe,
die.
Not Joe Mama's Oz.
No, not Joe Mama, not Joe Clock, not Joe fucking
File.
Joe File. But he says the time has come to die.
Now, while this entire exchange has been taking place, Hank has apparently been slowing himself like back up to the royal gardener because he's like, no, I never got to kick you. I'm going to kick your fucking ass.
And so he kicks him.
He does.
And the little gardener makes a perfect U shape with his body, a sideways U, and he flies out the door without even touching the ground. And he's just gone.
Yeah.
And Betsy is like, okay, let's go before they kill us.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of freaked out by all
this.
She
was like already scared, and then her horse like assaulted someone. She's like, yeah, we need to go.
Actually.
Let's go. Let's go.
But Shaggy isn't afraid of anything here.
Yeah.
And you know why?
He has a gun.
Hold on.
No, even better. He has a different piece of metal.
Hold on to your ass.
He has
the Tin Man.
The Love Magnet.
Oh.
Oh, underwhelming.
He's not metal.
But Betsy is like, the Love Magnet? What the hell is that?
How do you get that?
The Shaggy Man tells Betsy that the Love Magnet is an attachment that wins the heart of everyone who looks upon it. We get a lot more Love Magnet in this book than we do previous books. Like, it's like a real thing here.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy what we're about to see. It's like frustrating, and we'll get into it a little bit. But he explains that it used to hang over the gateway to the Emerald City, which we already knew,
mm-hmm.
but that Ozma allowed him to take it with him on this journey. And Betsy is like, oh my God, you're from the wonderful land of Oz.
Oh, so she knows
exactly what is happening.
So what is she?
Here's the thing, though.
So what is she?
What?
Well, so Shaggy Man is like, oh yeah, like, have you heard of it? And she hasn't. Or sorry.
No, he asks if she's been.
If he's been there. Yeah. Or if she has been there. And she's like, no, like, but I've heard of it. And about Ozma and Princess Dorothy. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but she's never heard of the Shaggy Man.
I know. Which, okay, yeah, I had that. I had that in my notes, too.
He's been in, like, 4 books.
But that's the thing. My theory, maybe she's from a fairy country, but L. Frank Baum is getting all this information via wireless, like, telegraphy from Dorothy. So now he's writing about a girl who has read his books, who then traveled to Oz. So she's just read the books.
I'll be maybe interested. She's not caught up.
Yeah,
I'll be
exactly.
Interested in seeing if it goes that way, but I don't know.
I don't think we'll get anything more. But
she also says Princess Dorothy, so she knows Dorothy's a princess. But the thing is, Oz is locked up. You can't get into Oz if you're not
from Oz. Yeah, that's what's a little weird.
And
also, when you show up on some island,
she's not that surprised.
Yeah, or you show up in some like place after a shipwreck. My first, I mean, maybe if someone was saying all the things from the book, but like my first guess would not be like, oh, I'm in that book that I've read.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, me neither.
But who knows?
But that's my theory. And I don't know.
I like that theory, though.
I like that theory, too. So I liked it more, actually.
No.
Okay. I like it the best. And that's what matters.
It's actually my favorite theory but you've heard.
But like Betsy is like, Oz is amazing. Why did you leave Oz? And the Shaggy Man tells her that he's on an errand.
To find his poor, dear little brother. So the Shaggy Man has family, and we're about to get some backstory. 10 years ago, his brother went missing. He didn't find out until, like, very recently. He was reading through Glinda's book of history and all the things that happened. Maybe looking for his brother's name or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Okay, here's the thing, though.
Maybe there's an index.
In the last episode, We talked about how Glinda just must constantly be reading that book. So why is the Shaggy Man just now learning about his brother?
Well, it was 10 years ago, though, so it was before he got to Oz.
That's what I'm wondering.
But his brother's not in Oz.
Yeah.
No, well, true.
That's what I'm like, he's not from Oz, so where would his brother be and where is he searching right
why
now?
Why is he in the book?
Well, the book is everything that happens anywhere, I thought, not just in Oz. Well, actually, it's definitely not just in Oz for reasons we'll come to find out later. But
so the Shaggy Man's brother was a miner in Colorado, and he worked in a gold mine. One day, he went to the mine, and he never came out, and no one's ever seen him since. And Betsy is like, what do you think happened to him?
And one explanation.
There's only one. Okay. And before we go into it, I would like to go on the record as disagreeing. I do not think that this is the only possible explanation of what happens when you go into a mine and don't come out.
Yeah, in 1910.
Let's hear it.
Go for it, Wyatt.
So the Shaggy Man takes another big bite of an apple, holding back his tears, which are like actively in his eyes.
I'm gonna cry.
And he says,
yeah, he's like wiping his eyes with a handkerchief that whole time.
No.
The Gnome King must have gotten him. Okay. That really got you.
Well, just like all the buildup was making me like think something else, so that was good.
Okay. Betsy, who knows about Dorothy and Ozma but not about the Shaggy Man or the Gnome King, is like, what is, like, what is that?
And we get some new information. So, some new crazy information. God.
Yeah, he says something fucking insane right now, because he tells us that the Gnome King is sometimes called the Metal Monarch.
New. That's never new. Heard that never heard life. That.
Yeah. I was saying, wait.
His name is Ruggedo.
So let's just go back a little bit.
What was his name? It was
Roquat. Roquat. Yeah. Now it's Ruggedo.
So Ruggedo, 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 whatever.
That sounds like the Walmart brand.
Great value.
Great value Ruggedos.
Okay. But it is crazy, though, because, like, this must be the villain with the most name changes in history, because he's the Gnome King in, like, his first appearance, and that's Roquat of the Rocks. Then, in the next appearance, he's Roquat the Red. Still the Gnome King, but, you know, okay, Roquat of the Rocks, Roquat the Red. But now he's the Metal Monarch and Ruggedo, like...
Yeah,
Gnome King, Roquat, Roquat, Metal Monarch, Ruggedo.
I want to say something to Elfrinkbaum. How do you expect me to get your characters' names when you're changing them?
Yeah.
And making them just insane.
So the Shaggy Man tells Betsy that Ruggedo lives in some underground cavern, and he claims to own all of the metals hidden in the earth, which we already know about him. He says the rubies are mine, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. Like, he said that before. That's why he hates land people.
Yeah.
Betsy asks him why, and the Shaggy Man is like, because I don't know. And then he continues and tells her that the Gnome King goes wild with anger anytime someone digs his gold. So for this reason, he thinks that the Gnome King, Ruggedo, Metal Monarch, captured his brother and took him to his underground cavern.
As a prisoner for stealing. Why? We also don't know. Like, why would he do that?
Yeah, seriously.
We don't know.
Well, because he hates it when people dig his metal, but, like, why doesn't this happen to every single miner?
Yeah, like, why the Shaggy Man's brother?
Betsy's like, oh, man, I guess you'll never get your brother back.
Damn. You're like, well, what the fuck am I doing out here then, bitch? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm just here to fall on greenhouses.
I mean, he does tell her, he's like, that's probably true, but it's my duty to try. That's my family.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my blood.
And Betsy is like, well, you know, the Metal Monarch is just gonna take you prisoner too, probably. But of course,
nonsense.
She's
unless I fucking throw some eggs at him
or the love. True. He should have brought Belina.
Why
didn't he
here?
Bring Belina? Like, why do they have 7,000?
I'm
chicks?
Actually so mad. Yeah. There should be an army of chicks behind him.
There should be, because they like didn't Belina. She was like, oh, I'm having all these babies to protect us.
Oh my god, I hope that's how this book ends. And if it does, so cute.
So cute. Oh.
So the Shaggy Man's like, dude, I have my love magnet. And Betsy's like, okay, like, so. But the Shaggy Man thinks that once the Gnome King sees the love magnet, he's going to love the Shaggy Man so much, he'll just do whatever he says.
That's like, a little risky.
Yeah, I'm like, how many pranks can risky. We play on this here Gnome King before he rises up?
Yeah.
And who knows what capabilities he has to, like... Yeah.
Now that he's the Metal Monarch, you know, maybe he isn't affected by a love magnet.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I can't wait to meet him, like, in this book, because I have a
feeling... See how different he is?
I have a feeling he's going to be crazy.
Yeah, he's not giving, like... He's not giving camp anymore, it feels
no,
like.
No, he's the metalloid maniac.
I mean, they did.
And he darts across.
They did
wall.
Erase his memory, and then he had to start
over.
Oh,
that's right.
So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he drank of the waters of oblivion.
So who even. He's confused.
He had to pick a new name.
He's lost.
Still evil.
Apparently, yeah, well, you can't. Whatever. I don't even want to talk about
what you're born with, I guess. Yeah,
but the whole point of what they did was to erase the evil.
Didn't work.
But it didn't work. It didn't take this time. But the Shaggy Man is like, yeah, I mean, the love magnet is going to be great. He's going to love me for that. Betsy's like, that must be a really good magnet. Shaggy Man's like, oh, it is. Want to see it?
It's always so creepy.
That is very creepy,
it's
actually.
Just like with Dorothy.
Like, don't. That's a child.
But Betsy is like, don't. I want to see it. I want to see it bad.
Of course
she
does.
Like, I want to see it real bad, Mr. Shaggy.
And
stop.
So he reaches into his pocket, gropes around, pulls out this little silver magnet shaped like a horseshoe. And Betsy likes the Shaggy Man.
Of course she does.
Even more. And Hank magnet. Nuzzles him and starts cuddling him. And I'm like, ugh, I hated the love magnet when it was here the first time. I hate it even more now because I don't know this girl.
Yeah, and just don't, you don't, like, need to show it to the people who already are going to be,
she already,
like,
liked him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And in the weird. Last book, nobody had to see it. Everybody just liked him and was, like, totally
normal. That's true.
Yeah.
You didn't have
in
to, like,
this,
show
they,
it.
They, like, gravitate to him. Like, Hank is, like, nuzzling his knee. It's a very, like, magical moment. But in case you forgot where we are and what's happening right now, the royal gardener shouts at them, you're all condemned to death.
Yeah, he's made his way back to the greenhouse.
The love magnet doesn't work for him.
Well, Betsy is scared, but the Shaggy Man just holds up the love magnet like a crucifix, and the gardener just collapses, and he's sobbing, and he's like, I love you, Shaggy Man. I love you.
Cat's on fire.
You're wonderful. Yeah.
All I have is yours, Shaggy Man. Love you.
It's like a cult. It is, yeah. And he's like, I would die for you, but you have to leave or you'll be put to death. Yeah. Like, you have to leave.
Shaggy Man, it's very like when the Yoop was like, I'm going to eat you. And Dorothy was like, oh, no, you're not going to eat me. He's like, why? She's like, because I'm not going
that's
over
right.
there.
Yeah.
But like, right. The Shaggy Man's like, I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
And the royal gardener, like, he's crying because he doesn't want anything bad to happen to Shaggy because he loves him so much.
He's
like,
and
he's
God
like,
damn, I just
he's
condemned
like,
him
no,
to death.
Shaggy, you have to go. The law says that any stranger in the Rose Kingdom is going to be condemned to death immediately
by the ruler.
So,
and
he's not even anyone.
Shaggy Man's like, well, we haven't even seen the ruler yet. So, like, we can't be condemned by a person who we've never even seen or heard
of. But why
of.
Haven't they seen the ruler yet?
Well, the truth is, there's not really a ruler right now. Because the rulers are also roses. And the last one, mildewed before his time, went to rest early. And they had to plant him, just like in the land of the Mangaboos, where they plant the dead so they can, you know.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So it's just like that. But he was like, so right now, there's actually, like,
they're
no
growing.
One in the royal garden who's ripe enough to pick and be our ruler.
Betsy's like, how do you know that none of them are ripe? And the royal gardener says, I am the royal gardener.
Yeah, he's like, I know how that happens. I can tell.
Okay.
Period. Yeah, and he's like, and now I have to kill you in the interim because there's no ruler, so it's me. So I'm going to kill you.
I'm
going to kill you both.
I'm in charge until there's a king.
Yeah.
Or a ruler. So the royal gardener's like, yeah, love you very much, Shaggy. Gotta kill ya. And Betsy's like, hold on. Before I die, I'd like to see the royal gardens. And Shaggy's like, me too. Yeah, no, we should definitely go see those royal gardens.
And the gardener says, no, I'm going to kill you both.
Shaggy flashes the love magnet.
Oh my God, again.
Yeah. 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 He's just on the ground. Yeah. Speaking in tongues. Lightning's crashing.
All I have is yours.
But the gardener, being overpowered by the love magnet, he takes him, like, to the back of the greenhouse. There's a door back there. And he unlocks it, and they go through into the royal garden, which is just like, it's like a big garden, like, for what, you know, people who are normal would have. But, like, it's a small garden on a royal scale. It's like a yard size, basically.
Yeah,
but it's beautiful.
From the perimeter of the, like, greenhouse, a hedge runs out and, like, encloses the garden. Like, it's not huge.
Okay.
It's full of rose bushes with these, like, soft velvet leaves. And growing on all of the bushes are men, women, and children in all stages of maturity.
But they're all a little bit green. Like, their skin is a little green, their clothes are green, so not quite ripe yet. So also really giving the land to the Mangaboos, where the people are growing in the back gardens, and someone has to decide when they're ripe. So everybody, or just to mention, though, all these, like, royal people who are hanging there are, they're growing kind of from the middle branch of a tree or of a rose bush, and they have open eyes that are just kind of staring dully ahead. They're not moving.
They're not alive.
They're not reacting. Yeah. Like, they're just, like, waiting, like, in suspended animation and just looking like corpses, basically. And
Betsy,
they're a little green.
She kind of goes around, like, checking all of them out, and she, like, goes behind, like, the bush, the big bush in the center of the garden, and on the back side of it, she sees a princess in, like, perfect color and shape. She's blooming beautifully.
Yeah, no green. And she's like, oh, this one is ripe for sure. Like, there's a ripe one right here.
She's gotta be.
The royal gardener comes over and he's like, oh, yeah, that one's ripe. But it's a woman, so we can't have her for a ruler.
You've ever heard of Ozma?
Yeah, see, okay, well, they have, and I'll tell you why in a second.
But for right now, from behind the royal gardener, there's this chorus of voices saying, one, two, three.
No, indeed. It's all the roses. Somehow they follow them out into the garden. I don't know how, because they are literally, they're depicting
the bush. But
they're
stuck in the greenhouse.
Yeah, they're in pots on a stem. Yeah, that's what I said. Are they hopping or are they kind of like rocking back and forth, you know? Like, either way, it's
they're
bad.
They're like shifting.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, they're just like. Oh,
maybe they just
horrible.
Do like a weird like stretch into the doorway.
Oh, maybe.
Either
but I don't
way,
think so.
Gross. But the royal gardener, he's like, see, they don't want a girl ruler. They want a king. And all of the rose bushes are like, one, two, three.
A king! I don't have it all written down.
Okay, so they're just like girly girls that want like a man.
I guess so. It's kind of annoying, though.
It is kind of annoying.
The shaggy man is like, that's a royal right there. And the royal gardener says something crazy.
So, very much like Ozma is the princess, the girl ruler of Oz, you know. This is Princess Ozga. She is a distant cousin of Princess Ozma of Oz.
And she's a rose princess.
Yeah, she has a full body. So she had like she looks like a girl, except her head is like a rose and she has a girl's face.
Oh, what the hell?
But Betsy hearing that like this is a descendant of Ozma, she like leans over to Shaggy Man. She's like, we should pick this lady. And Shaggy Man's like, oh, no, yeah, we're going to pick that lady.
Yeah, and she's going to protect us because
she's
we're going to save
us.
Her. Yeah. Yeah. And so at this point, the gardener is kind of like over, like tending to some of the roses who he's like, get the fuck back in the greenhouse, probably. But Shaggy Man and Betsy just like each take an arm of the princess and they just kind of like lift her and shift her a little bit and her feet twist off the bush. And she comes to life. She bows. Mm-hmm. She says, I thank you very sweetly.
The royal gardener and the other roses hear her say, I thank you, and all turn around.
Yeah. There's a fluttering of leaves as they all look and stare at them.
All of their faces change from curiosity to like pure anger.
Yeah.
No, they gotta go.
Like, they all just cry out like, audacious mortals, what have you done?
And
run!
Yeah. They're like, we will not have a princess. Like, we want a king. We want a man rose.
That's fine.
No girl is going to rule us. Yeah.
She's coming with us.
Well, the princess is like, what the fuck? Like, you're not being very welcoming. Like,
you're my subject.
Yeah. Like, I've been picked from the bush, like, to be your ruler, right? Yeah. Like, isn't that why I'm here?
They say that she was picked by mortals without their consent, and they do not accept her.
Yeah. And they will not obey her, and they will not listen to her and love her.
And they start ordering, the roses start ordering the royal gardener to have the strangers and the new princess thrown out.
Which my question is that how the monarchy works? It's that the group of people collectively decides who they want to rule them.
That sounds like a democracy.
That sounds like a democracy.
Yeah,
so
that's not what I'm used to in this part.
It's interesting that that's how they're treating this when it's a princess, but I digress. But Shaggy Man is like, hey, you know what? Like, Princess Ozga, here, take this love magnet in your hand, like, show it to the roses, and then they'll love you, and then, like, you don't have to worry about it. And so she tries it, but the roses fucking hate it they even hiss. More. Like, yeah, they hiss harder than they already were. Yeah.
The Shaggy Man is like, I have never seen the love magnet not work before.
Well, they're not people.
And that's the thing. Betsy realizes. She's like, they don't have hearts. Like, the magnet can't work on them. And the Royal Gardener kind of clears that up. He's like, yeah, like, they are stems and thorns and petals. They are not people. Like, yeah, this shit,
they're pretty,
these enchantments don't work on them. They are enchantments.
Yeah. And so the princess Ozga gives back the love magnet to the Shaggy Man, and she's just kind of like sighs, and the roses are back at it, and they're like, turn her out, we want a man rose, give us the king. And
oh my god,
the gardener doesn't like it, but he's like, Shaggy Man, I'm so sorry, like, I don't want
to
kill you, but
I've
like,
got a duty to honor.
Yeah, like, you guys got to get out. Like, you got to get out of here.
Just get the fuck out.
Leave immediately.
He tells him to leave. And Shaggy Man's like, but don't you love me, Guardy?
No.
And the gardener's like, oh, I do. I dote on thee. But you got
to
go.
Yeah. Like, I have a duty to do.
He's like, I have
a
job.
The love doesn't matter. Yeah. I have to keep my job.
He grabs his pitchfork and he starts jabbing it at them.
Oh my god.
Like, he's like, I don't want to hurt you, but I will.
These people are the worst.
And they're like, what the fuck? And Hank.
Mangaboo was scarier. Honestly, oh, the if way it wasn't,
yeah, Mangaboo like, was scarier because he starts, so he gathered many. Everyone at to least, throw them in a fucking dark
those
hole
twists,
or something.
Those twists. Oh, yeah. They escaped the twists and then they got sent to the dark hole.
Yeah.
But Hank starts to kick. And the gardener, like, jumps back to avoid the kicks.
He's been kicked before.
But then all the roses, and there's probably, I don't know how many there are, but there's, like, let's say 30 roses. And they, like, kind of, like, move their petals, and they have these big old thorns on them. And you know, they are just, like, slashing at them.
You know something I didn't even think about? Some of these roses that are attacking them just have these, like, fully formed green, like, dead people dangling from them while they're doing it.
No.
I bet.
Each of the roses, each of these roses that's alive is just one face per rose. And they're just rose
faces. No bodies involved?
No bodies on these ones.
I wonder what their purpose is.
They're the court.
but, yeah, they're like, okay, like, we need to get the fuck out of here. So they allow themselves to be backed out of the Rose Kingdom and out of the greenhouse, out of the Rose Kingdom altogether. The Princess Ozga is rightfully just sobbing. Like, these are her first few moments on the planet.
Yeah, she woke up to this.
She woke up like this.
That is kind of scary.
Betsy is pissed.
She's pissed.
Yeah.
Hank is hee-hawing for the gods. He wants to kick something.
He's also pretty angry. And
Shaggy Man's whistling.
Yeah, just calmly. He's chilling. So they finally, well, the Country of the Roses is not that big. So they end up getting to the edge of it. And, like, I think the roses are probably still following them, but at least the gardener is. And the gardener, like, lowers the drawbridge because there's a big moat at the edge of the country. He, like, ushers them across and then he pulls the bridge back up. So now they're stuck on the other side of the moat. And they're just like,
at least they're still
out
on land.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
They are
seriously.
In what is described as a bleak and unknown country.
Obviously, Shaggy Man's brother isn't there.
And that's pretty much how it goes, actually. Like, Shaggy Man's like, well, I wasn't planning on staying there anyway. I gotta go find my brother.
Yeah. Like, this is just the next step. Like, he's gonna
be
somewhere
else. Y'all
should have
just left
else.
When they asked.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
why did it have to be turned into a whole situation? Why did you have to... Well, I understand plucking the princess.
Yeah, at some point, it's like, well, okay, like, you guys, like, you're trying to... You want to kill us? Like,
you got
maybe
an
we can
Ozga?
Get some help? Yeah. You guys have Ozga?
I'm taking an Ozga.
Thank God they got that Ozga.
No,
Betsy
you
found
haven't.
Our friend the Shaggy Man, I guess. But Betsy's like, oh, Hank and I will help you find your brother. We are so lost, we have no idea where we're going. And also, like, going on an adventure is more fun than being at home anyway. To which I would say, like, shut the fuck up, Betsy. You're delusional. When was the last time you ate? Kind of something like that.
Yeah,
she really needs
to
eat.
No. Oof. But Princess Ozga of Roseland is now an outcast. And she will be an outcast forever. And she tells the Shaggy Man that, yeah, like, I would be happy to help you find your brother, too. Because I have nowhere else to go. And might as well.
The Shaggy Man thanks them all, but he's also like, if I can't find the cavern of Rugado, I'll never even find my brother. So, like, you guys might be just coming on a goose chase with me.
Mm-hmm. At least he's honest.
But yeah. This is where we learn that, like, Rugado was once named Roquat. He drank from the waters of oblivion, forgot his own name, and had to make up a new one.
So at least we get that explained.
That makes sense, actually, why his name would change then.
Yeah.
The only valid explanation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, although he still does think everything underground belongs to him. So he does remember
something. Yeah, he's the exact same guy.
I don't know. It's hard to get on board with.
I guess you can't erase a personality.
Yeah.
But Betsy's like, well, does anyone know where this cavern can be found? And he's like, yeah, someone probably does. Not me. So we need to keep walking until we find someone who does.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And so they decide to travel on. And they're, like, obviously they just crossed a drawbridge, so, like, they're on a path. So they just decide to follow the path, like, leading away from the Rose Kingdom, and so they just set off. And that's the end of Chapter 6, Shaggy Seeks His Stray Brother. And Blake, what would you seek that?
Picking trouble in the Rose Kingdom.
Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we continue with Chapter 7, Polychrome's Pitiful Plight. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swingham. Co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Riddy Clobus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.